Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Hallelujah. Tell somebody they look good near you. Tell someone, Father, we thank you for this offering. We pray that you would bless it 30, 60, and 100-fold in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen, amen. You can be seated. All right, a couple things I want to do real quick before we get in the Word. You guys good? Feeling good? We had a wedding recently. And so Robin and Brandon got married. So if they would stand, you would just honor them right now. Come on, give it up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Robin and Brandon. Hallelujah. They went on a honeymoon somewhere. I don't remember where it was, but I'm sure it was exotic and exciting. The Lord rained on their nuptials. Hallelujah. You guys good? If you got a Bible, you can go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 10. Before I go there, it's back to school week, yeah? Yeah? So if you're going back to school this week, if you can stand for me. Well, I mean, if you're going back in the fall here, you might go next week. If you would stand, and if you would find somebody who's standing, and you just begin to bless them real good for going back to school, do me a favor, just get around them. Come on, we want to bless them. Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would bless their school year, bless their academics, Jesus. Favor upon them. Come on, pray real good. Favor upon them. Favor upon them. Favor upon them in their schooling, in their relationships. Protection. They will be a bold witness in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, stay standing, you people who just got prayed for. Stay standing. Now raise your hand if you just got prayer because you're going back to school. Okay, now you keep your hand up in the air. Now, if you want to go back to school and are unable to, I want you to stand. Okay, no, all you students, put your hand down. Now, if you just stood up because you want to go to school, put a hand up. Now, all you who are standing, go near them and begin to pray for them. And when somebody's praying for you, put your hand down. Father, in the name of Jesus, Mikey doesn't have anybody praying for him here. Returning students, if you would please. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you would bless their ability to go back to school, Father. You like when people want to learn. And so we ask right now, Father, that you would give them favor and the ability to return to school. Father, that you would make a way where there is no way. That you would open doors, you would bring the finances, you would bring papers, if that's what they need, Father, whatever it is. It's very easy for you. And prayer team, just release it. Go ahead and release it. Release that. Ha. In Jesus' name. Everybody say? Amen. Amen, amen, amen. You feeling good? Who's happy? Because I'll bring the worship team back up here. Don't make me do that. Students, Robin, accounting room in heaven. I got my list all done. Anastasia, can you grab this? Checklist is done. Excellent. I feel like the rest of this is gravy. It's just a little bonus now. All right, Matthew chapter 10. Tech team, remember when I put on my scripture list there, we might do a little something in Matthew? We're doing something in Matthew. Ah. Oh, Father, we just love you this morning. We just set our sights on you, Jesus. This is all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. This isn't about knowledge. It's not about church. It's not about what we can accomplish. It is all about you. We yield to you right now. We yield to you, Jesus. This is all about you. Be the center of everything we do here today, Jesus. Be the center of everything we do here today, Jesus. Be the center of everything we do, Jesus. Oh, how we love you. Oh, let's just pray that one more minute. Oh, just be the center, Lord. Just need you so desperately. You can produce so much more, so much better than I can. You're so pure, perfect and pure. You're so beautiful in everything that you do, Jesus. You're so beautiful in everything you do. Jesus, please don't leave these people with just me. Please, 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 please. Only you can satisfy. Only you can satisfy. That you would come in power and presence and wisdom and knowledge. That you would touch people today. And you would edify them. And you would encourage them. And you would release them into giftings and calls. That you would set hearts on fire for you today. That Jesus, that I would be nothing more than a signpost to you. Today, Jesus. 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 Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew chapter 10. We're starting in verse 1. All right. You guys ready? Hey, we had our offering for our new office 2 weeks ago, and I'm excited to tell you we raised almost $2,000. It's really awesome. We've already begun the transformations. We've worked on some bathrooms. We're getting some furniture. We're doing all kinds of exciting things. And if we had raised just $100 more, we'd have a disco ball. But it was that's just the only thing we're not going to be able to afford. So, please don't donate a disco ball unless it's covered in diamonds. Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 1, Jesus summoned his 12 disciples. So look at that word, right? Summoned his 12 disciples. You see that? Matthew 10, 1, Jesus summoned his 12. Excellent. Jesus summoned his 12 and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Now the names of the 12. I'm not making this up. It's right here written down. There's no trickery happening, I promise you. And not one of those switcheroos. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. Can you say amen to the reading of the word? Interesting little thing happens here. I was trying to point out there in the scriptures. We're going to take another stab at it. As we look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, it says, Jesus summons his 12. Now, if you look in the book that we all have, at verse 2, it says, now the names of the 12. And which are they? When did the disciples become apostles? At what point did the disciples become apostles? That is the question I want to answer this morning as it pertains to you. Jesus is amazing. If you haven't met him, I really recommend it. Now, if you've been to church and you're like, I grew up a Christian, you've come up short. Let me just let you know. I've always been saved. likely means you've never been saved. I just really recommend that today be the day. My computer's doing funny things. I recommend that today be the day you decide I'm going to meet him. Today be the day that you meet him. Jesus, in his amazing way, here I go, I'm almost done now. Now it's going to work and I'm not going to be distracted. You ready? Hallelujah. You guys love me? Is it okay? Am I distracting you? I'm sorry. Jesus, in his amazing way, doesn't have to sit back and figure out who you are. Isn't that awesome? The Bible says that everything he created was created through him. You are not an accident. You're not here by accident. You didn't catch God off guard when you showed up. He wasn't surprised. He didn't have to go buy a bassinet when you were born. He didn't have to figure out how to feed someone. He already knew you were coming. Before the foundation of the world, he knew when you were going to show up on the scene. No matter what the world may have told you, no matter what your family said about you, you are not an accident. You didn't evolve from a monkey. You weren't a rock at one time that somehow creeped out of the ocean and became a person. It's just not what happened. You were created by the Creator in his likeness, on purpose. I want you to repeat this after me. I was created on purpose because God wanted me. That's a good word right there. You were created on purpose because God wanted you. You got me, right? Now, why did Jesus create you is a question some of you may want to get answered. Every person in their life has three questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And where am I going? Only Jesus can answer those questions. People live their entire life trying to figure out and plug answers into these questions because they don't know the person who gives the answer. I'm here to help you out a little with that. I have a very simple word, but I really want to deliver it in a way that you're going to be able to receive life. Who in here is 24? Is anybody here 23, 24? Yeah? Natalia, come on up here. Would you come right here? Is there anybody in here in their 70s? Late, mid-60s? Okay, come on up, Henry. Would you please come up? Give it up for Henry, everybody. Is there anybody... Is there anybody here in their 90s? Okay. Who's in their 40s? Okay. Stay still. Okay. Now, let's talk about the Apostle John, shall we? Anybody heard of John? I read a book that he wrote. It's a really good one. It's called John. It's an amazing book. Read it. It'll change your life. Right? So John, we know, was one of the disciples who were also called apostles, right? Now, when we read this book of John, we think about what an amazing man he is, and he's an apostle. Now, when he was called an apostle in this scripture, Matthew chapter 10, he was right around Natalia's age. He was right around Natalia's age when they first called him an apostle. Say hello to apostolic prophet Natalia Pereira. Nowadays, you're not really an apostle until you lead, 5,000 churches over 19 continents. And you own, four or five of the three nails that Jesus was hung to the cross on. And there's a couple angels named after you. That's what an apostle is these days. Now, at this age, John was called an apostle. Now, Henry, you're in your late 50s, right? He's 24, actually. How, if you don't mind? Yeah, no, you don't.
68.
Now, when John was this age, he still was not old enough to write the Gospel of John. John, people, they kind of, there isn't a
clear consensus on when he wrote it. Many people historically believe he was in his early 70s when he wrote the Gospel of John. Some people believe it was even later than that. So, over here, if Natalia, would you stand right here, please? And Henry, would you stand right about there, if you would, please? Okay, now, when he was this age, he was called an apostle after being discipled for a couple years. Actually, you know, early in his ministry with Jesus. Right? He hadn't even ministered with him that long at this point, and he was called an apostle. Now, all along this time, he's an apostle, yeah? It wasn't until this time that he wrote his gospel. Now, as we continue, it wasn't until this time that he wrote the book of Revelation. He was in his 90s when he wrote, you know, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and the book of Revelation. We're going to talk today about this time in between here and here. Does that make sense? It's your little visual aid right there. Give it up for your thespian cast of Revival Life Church. Yeah, it's good up here, right? Yeah, watch out. Oh, this could get ugly. Here you go. Just do it now. Just go for it now. There you go. Just a little bit of that right there. Just, oh, yeah. Lay down next to Lou. That ought to help. Lights out. How many of you know that if John didn't believe what Jesus called him right here, he never would have got there? Are you with me? Matthew chapter 4, we find Matthew just kind of, you know, doing his job, right? When Jesus found him. Let me say that again if you don't mind. Jesus found Matthew while he was working at his job. Let me say that one more time. A lot of people seeking Jesus and not working. Jesus found Matthew working at his job. I can't work. I want to go in ministry. Good luck on that one. Now, in Matthew chapter 4, the scripture says, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. That means they had a job. Verse 19, and he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, did he say, follow me, and you will enter into a discipleship period where I will teach you how to fish for men? Follow me, and I'll let you read the book that I wrote about fishing, and if you buy it, the special discipleship class that's $850 online, you'll learn how to become. He didn't say that, right? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The work is on Jesus. Making you a fisher of men, he tells Peter. He tells Peter. And he says, immediately they left their nets and followed him. They didn't say immediately they brought their nets with them because they need that to fish. Now, what I've seen in so many people, and I want to encourage you, and I'm still trying to work out the verbiage, and forgive me because the Lord, this is really fresh on my heart, and I haven't had a lot of time to really craft a crafty message, so to speak. But what I do have is revelation, and I'm going to impart it if you'll just hear this and hear my heart today. There's a lot of people who just really doubt the Word of God. And what I mean by that is they believe the Bible's true, they believe what God is speaking to their neighbor, but it's hard for them to believe it for them. Diane spoke about that last week, and that leads me to believe that's a word over this house right now. Now, some of you hear that word, and all of a sudden, you get under condemnation. Yeah, I'm not doing this right. I'm not being a good Christian. I'm in doubt, and I need to repent. I need to work that out, and that's not what I'm saying. The last thing I'm saying is you have more work to do. What I am saying is you need to trust God that he is going to complete his work. Jesus showed us in the scriptures that if you just follow him, he'll transform you into your calling. All we have to do is follow. The amazing thing about following is we don't have to know where we're going. You know, sometimes we have a group of us and we're going to go somewhere and one person has the directions. They try to explain it to you. They're like, you know, you're going to go to the gas station. You're going to take a left. You're like, which gas station is it? You know, it's that one on the right. Is the BP? No, it's the other one. And then we're going to take a left on Avenue 7. And we're like, what is that 7th Avenue northeast or southeast? And they say, forget it. Just follow me. Okay, just don't go too fast. I'll follow you because I know I'll get there because you know where you're going. Jesus says, listen, I'm not going to lay out a map for you. All you have to do is follow me. You don't got to figure out 9 turns ahead. You don't have to figure out how you're going to get there. You don't have to figure out where the traffic is. You don't have to figure out how much gas you need. All you have to do is keep your eyes on me and follow. Does it frustrate you when you're driving and the person behind you that's following you doesn't go fast enough to keep up? Does that happen to anybody else? I'm like, do you realize that I have the directions and you don't? And if you fall back a mile and a half, you're not going to get there. And then it's like they go slower, so I go slower. And then they go slower and I go slower. Next thing you know, I'm driving in reverse, you know, like, what? Could we go any slower here? I'm like, just keep up. And it happens conversely also when I'm following somebody and they think like we're like in a NASCAR event. And they're weaving through traffic, and I'm like, bro, they got these signs on the side with numbers. It's a speed limit. I'm trying to stay in it. I like my insurance low. They're running yellow lights. Like, what are you doing? That's not Jesus. See, Jesus knows how fast you can go. He's the perfect pace setter. He's a perfect pace setter. And what he does is he says, listen, I know where we're going. All you have to do is stay near me. Let me rephrase that. All you have to do is be aware of my presence. And wherever my presence goes, you go there. And you just follow me. And one day, you'll look up and you're at the destination. That's the prophetic word that he gave me before service. Some of you have just been faithful, and you didn't realize that your faithfulness is going to bring you prosperity in this age. You didn't have to have your eye on prosperity. You just have to have your eye on Jesus. And Jesus says, listen, you keep your eye on me, and I call that godliness. And there's great gain in that because God values faithfulness. He values faithfulness because it's not possible for him not to be faithful. And him being perfect, he values his character in you. And since he created you, hear this. Some of you have a hard time with this. Since he created you in his likeness, you have the capacity to reflect his nature. I'm like, okay, Pastor, I'm ready for you to tell me how to do that. I'm ready for a discipleship course. You have that online thing we talked about. No. You don't get it. You were created with this capacity. As you keep your eyes on Jesus, you will begin to be transformed into his likeness. Many of you don't even recognize how you've already been transformed to who you are now. Many of you forget at times how many times Jesus has been there and rescued you and prevented you from making really bad decisions. You didn't recognize that was the fruit of you following to that degree. You're already seeing it in your life now. You see, the enemy wants to come and make us so discouraged and make us so doubtful and make us, oh, man, God, maybe he's not faithful. Maybe I didn't hear him right. Oh, my heart is not being fulfilled in every desire that I have. But Jesus comes along and says, do you remember the time I rescued you? Do you remember the time that you never thought you'd be able to do what you're doing right now and now you're doing it? I mean, each of us in this room, you could probably think, man, there's some area of my life that I never thought would be this good. It never would have got this good without God. I mean, the rescued marriages and recovered finances and just peace in your mind and health in your body. Some of you, just a hope for the future is a miracle testimony. Amen? Some of you just looking to the future and expecting things to get better is the miracle testimony. See, we can get into this cycle where we say, man, why did God allow this to happen to me? I had a bad thing happen, and I just really thought God would prevent it. Where the truth is, Jesus said bad things would happen in this world. It's not his fault, but because of him, we have a hope to get out of them. Amen? Because of Jesus Christ, we have a hope that this season won't last forever. Because of Jesus Christ, we have a hope that our life will get better and better, our marriage will get better and better, that our finances will get better and better. Without Jesus, we'd be stuck. I mean, you go out into the world and there's just people trying to create better environments for themselves through positive thinking and manipulation and just denial, outright denial of their problems. The power that we have in Jesus Christ, we can say, yes, this is a problem. And through faith in Christ, so I just say faithful to him, it won't always be like this. That's the promise we have in Christ. It won't always be like this. The enemy wants us to think that we're hopeless. But we have a hope in Christ in every situation. Amen? There's not a single situation that God places us in that there isn't hope. Why? Because he placed you there. You are his agent of hope on the earth. You see, there's this guy named Timothy in the Bible who's was kind of a disciple of Paul. And Paul told Timothy several instructions in the letters that he wrote him. And he told Timothy how to act in certain situations, and he told him, you know, how to minister to certain situations. But it's really funny. I have been familiar with several ministry networks, and I have been familiar with several ministry schools, and I've read many books on ministry, as probably several of you have. I have many, many books on the gift of healing. I have dozens of books. I mean, thousands upon thousands of pages on how to minister healing and many other subjects. And Paul had a disciple named Timothy, and if you read the instructions that Paul sent to Timothy, it's a couple pages. I mean, can you imagine? Like, he tells him, okay, I've planted a church in this region. You be in charge of it. Here's the manual. And you're looking at him like, this is it? This is it? I mean, this is it? I mean, you can fit the book on like two pages. This, could you imagine? Can you imagine? I say, okay, here you go, Josh. I'm going to send you off. I want you to, you know, I just want some people in Orlando, and you're going to be the man. You've been going to this church a little bit. I want you here. I'm going to teach you everything you need to know. Here you go. Lead a church. You're like, okay. What do I pray at the beginning of a service? How do I count the offering? This doesn't say anything about people who are addicted to this, or what the heck am I supposed? I got marital problems. I remember when my wife and I first got in ministry. We first started this church. Oh, Jesus. I probably shouldn't tell you this, but we just had been in some youth ministry, you know, started a little outreach, started to grow, people started coming. Had a married couple come to us, and they're like, yeah, can we have some counseling? We're like, yeah, we've been married. We got this. We sit down in the house, sitting down at their dining room table, and they begin to tell us stuff. I'm like, whoa, whoa. And then this happened, and then he did that, and she did that, and then we did this, and you did what? I want to be like, what? You did what? Can you explain to me why you did what? Oh, sweet Jesus, this isn't in the Bible. I don't know what to do here. We're not ready for this. Pray in tongues? You're going to find yourself in some situations. You sign up for ministry. Let the workplace know that you're the Christian. And they'll be like, hey, can I talk to you after? And like, yeah, I got this. I'm going to get somebody saved. You know, it's like, my uncle is into witchcraft. He's doing spells on me. What do I do? Huh? Anybody know what I'm talking about? People come to you, you're like, what? I'm just an usher. I don't know. Huh? I lead a life group. Come in. We'll talk about the service. No, you're it. You're it. You're the church of Jesus Christ at that work. That's it. You better figure it out. You better know where to find the answers. And that's what Paul was telling Timothy. You better know where to find the answers, because I'm on the other side of the planet and I got to send this by ship. I can't help you. I'll tell you a discipleship trick that, you know, we get time to time. You can tell when God is really stretching somebody because they start to call your phone repeatedly. like every 3 minutes, the phone rings. I'm like, oh, Corey's having that meeting. Oh, deny. Oh, there's Diane again. Deny. Call her next day. Oh, yeah, did you call me yesterday? About 15 times. You better figure out how to hear from Jesus. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Has anybody experienced that? Know what I'm talking about? You better know how to hear from Jesus. See, we live in a culture where we're so man-centered, and you can't do anything on your own. You don't know how to do nothing. You don't have the PhD. You don't have the doctorate. You haven't been discipled for 15 years under Apostle Bigwig. You know, you don't know any of that stuff. You don't even own a suit. How are you going to minister? Paul's telling Timothy, listen, I laid hands on you, man. The same source that I got, you got. Here, let's read it. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, he says to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. And you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now, there's so much in that, we could just preach that all day. Paul starts telling Timothy, starts exhorting him. He says, listen. You have a fight to do here. You have a fight that you're involved in here. But this isn't a physical fight, obviously. And you're not going to answer this fight by swinging. You're not going to answer it by knowledge. He says, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. See, you were called to eternal life right here. Everybody in this room, you were called. You wouldn't be here if you weren't. There's a whole theology that says, why don't you come and, you know, we'll just shake some dice and maybe you're called, maybe you're not. No, we just don't believe that. If you're breathing and God put breath in you, he probably likes you. And there's a hope. We say, as long as you're still breathing, there's still hope. Once you stop breathing, we still pray. But there's less hope probably. Paul tells Timothy, he says, listen, stir up the gift that you receive by the laying on of hands and the prophecies spoken over you. You see, when Paul put Timothy into ministry, they had the elders gather around him, and they laid hands on him, and they began to prophesy over him. Those things that they prophesied over him were the provision for his life. They were the provision for his breakthrough. They were provision for his ministry. I find many times when people first get saved, they have an encounter with Jesus. I mean, that's pretty much the only way to get saved. I don't think there's any other way, right? Any theologians in here? There's no other way other than Jesus, right? Yeah. So an encounter with Jesus is required to be saved, right? Can we get an amen on that one? That's why you can't be born saved. I've been a Christian my whole life. Come on into the kingdom. And during that crossing over, hear me, during that crossing over from death to life, during that conversion, which is really what happens, if you've not been converted, it's time to be converted. During that conversion, you have an encounter, and in the midst of that is oftentimes where God gives you seed faith. He shows you the ultimate call right there. We had Emmanuel share Friday night a powerful, powerful word about an encounter he had with Jesus when he got converted. And in the midst of it, the Father showed him what he thinks about Emmanuel. Now, in that, you could say, oh, that was good. You know, he was dealing with some inner things, whatever. No, the truth is, that is the equipping for Emmanuel's ministry right there. You hear me? And in those encounters, you know, God wants us just to live happy Christian lives. He wants us just to spread the kingdom. He wants us to be good representations for him. But at the same point, for each of us, we have a ministry and we have a call. You have a ministry to call. You have a ministry and a call. You have a ministry and a call. You have a ministry and a call. Look at the person next to you. They have a ministry and a call. Each of you, we all have a call and a ministry. It's not, you know, some of us are minister to those who don't get to minister. That's not it at all. That's not scripture. We all have a ministry and we all have a call, and our source is Christ Jesus. And I find that he gives the first seed of that at conversion, because that's when we sometimes will see it the most pure. You see, you're only able to minister what you are. I can teach you facts. I can only impart what I have. And if we're going to be New Testament ministers, we need to impart life to people. Okay. I'm running a little long, but just give me a second and I'll bring all this together. John, in his early 20s, became an apostle. Right? During that season of his life, the next 50 years, he's learning how to live as an apostle. In his 70s to 90s, somewhere around there, he had worked it out enough that he could impart the apostolic universally. And he wrote the scriptures. Many of you find yourself somewhere around here. You heard the call. God gave you a vision. Maybe your vision is to be in vocational ministry. Maybe your vision is to be run a kingdom business. Maybe your ministry is to raise godly kids. They're all the same. Whatever your call is the same as anybody else's call. There's no higher levels of calling to Jesus. We're all called to Jesus. We're all parts of his body. One is not more important than the other. We just have different functions. So whatever your call is, you're likely somewhere in between there and there. We all are. You're never going to get there if you don't believe this. When did John become an apostle? When Jesus called him an apostle. Now, there is a time of laying on of hands and separating somebody into their ministry for everybody else to recognize who they are. But that's not the point when you start believing that's who you are. The first person who has to believe that's who you are is you. All right. Okay. I'm gonna just try to give one more. Christianity gets messed up. And the focus becomes fixing our fallen relationship with God. Our whole Christianity starts revolving around dealing with sin and us not getting it right. When that was never the case. As you walk with God, you'll sin less. Hallelujah. And you have a role to play in that, but that's not the central role in your relationship with God. Hear me when I say this. Just give me a little grace. Our job is not to fix our relationship with God. Our job is to fix our relationship with the world. What do I mean by that? The moment we get saved, our spirit man is renewed. The breath of God touches it, our spirit man is renewed, right? At that point, our spirit is perfect. Because it's the breath of God in us. It's redeemed, perfectly redeemed. At that moment, if we were to die, we go straight to heaven. Amen? Perfect. Our soul is all kind of funked up, right? It's got all kind of the cares of the world. We're looking at things wrong. Got bad habits, bad attitudes, all kind of issues. Our flesh can't do anything good, right? On its own. And our job is not to try to turn inward and make ourselves better. Our job is to get out of the way of our spirit man to express God's love to the earth. As long as we are the center of our Christianity, we can never accomplish our mission in life, which is to demonstrate the love of God to the world. Did I lose you or are we together? I just want to make sure we're on the, you're not going to, I'm not coming back. Get our kids, honey. We're going home. Listen, when we get saved and the Holy Ghost moves in and lives on the inside of us, our whole point at that moment is our lives are no longer about us because our future is decided. Our job is now to figure out how to get that out of us into the world. Okay, I got scripture. Okay. Let's look at Paul. Paul, another very important character in the New Testament. Early in Paul's ministry, you're with me now, right? Early in Paul's ministry, he went on 3 missionary journeys. He wrote 6 of the major epistles, Galatians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, and Romans. All righty? There'll be a test on this later. In one of those, 1 Corinthians, Paul says, are you hearing me? You with me, right? You tracking? In one of those, Paul makes this statement. He says in 1 Corinthians 15:9, I am the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Right? Paul is an apostle. His job at this point is not to figure out how to be an apostle. It's how to get out of his own way. Right? So Paul starts getting more humble. Right? Before he thought he was great. He was God's gift to the earth. Right? I stood in judgment over him, and I was okay that he was being stoned because he wasn't as righteous as me. But now as he's an apostle, he starts getting more humble. Paul doesn't put himself on par with the other apostles, right? He doesn't say he's equal to them. He calls himself the least of them. Okay, well, there's a work of God happening in here. He's getting out of his own way, right? Now, in the middle of his ministry, when he was imprisoned in Rome, he wrote to the Philippians. Are you tracking with me here? He wrote Colossians, Philemon. And his letter to the Ephesians. And in Ephesians 3:8, he gets even more humble. He says, to me, the very least of all the saints. He goes from being less than all the apostles. Now, as he's matured a little bit, moving along in his journey, he thinks he's less than most of the saints. He's getting lower still. Follow me here. He goes from least of the apostles to least of the saints. We see this trend, right? Now, as he continues in his ministry near the end, as he's getting older before he gets martyred for his faith, during his second Roman imprisonment, he writes Titus, 1 and 2 Timothy, which we just read. And early in his letter to Timothy, he says in 1 Timothy 1:15, he says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He didn't say those nasty sinners. He says, he came to save sinners, and I'm the biggest of them all. Early in his ministry, he's over here. I'm not the greatest of the apostles. Then he goes to, I'm not the greatest of the saints. To, man, I'm one of the dirtiest, low-down sinners that God ever saved. As we grow in our maturity, we grow in our maturity. How do you walk into this supernatural call that God has for you? You need to renew your mind and believe this thing that God has called you to. The world needs you to believe what God has called you to. There is a world that does not know God, and they need what you carry. And they need you to be focused on who God has called you to be. They don't need you to go in there and tell them how you're struggling with looking at something on the internet and how you're not sure if God loves you because you lost your temper when driving. They need you to believe the call in your life that you carry the anointing to save sinners. They need to believe the call in your life that you'll be a father to the fatherless or a mother to the motherless. They need you to believe the call on your life that you would walk in miracle signs and wonders. They need you to believe the call on your life that you would heal the brokenhearted. They need you to believe that about you, even when you don't see the fruit of it yet. Are you with me on this one? I'm going to speak one more thing and then we're going to close up. We have a high value for the prophetic in this house because we believe the prophetic word has power. Time and again throughout Scripture, the Bible says that Jesus did things simply to fulfill the prophecies. What if you don't believe the prophecies enough to write them down? Is God obligated to fulfill them? In Matthew alone, I counted 12 times that the Scripture says, I'll read you the first one, in Matthew 1:22. Can you put up 1:22? I'll just turn there real quick. Watch, we'll get there first. He says, it was a prophetic word by Jesus. Oh, that's 10:22. I was like, that doesn't look right. Okay. He says, let me read it to you. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, behold, a virgin shall carry a child. God loves to confirm his word in your life. Say that with me. God loves to confirm his word in my life. Let's say it again. God loves to confirm his word in my life. Anybody got unanswered prophecies yet? Do you believe them now, or do you start to doubt them? Do you quote them over yourself? Do you identify with them and say, this is who I am? This is who I'm called to be? This is who I'm called to be. I don't believe them yet because they seem so crazy, but I believe the Lord believes them, and that's enough for me. I believe the prophet who spoke and believe them, and that's enough for me. And God said that he would fulfill the call of my life to honor the word the prophet has spoken. It's all over the Bible. It's all over the Bible. I mean, it's all over the Bible. I mean, Matthew 2:17, Matthew 2:23, Matthew 4:14, Matthew 8:17, Matthew 12:17, Matthew 13:14, Matthew 13:35, Matthew 21:4, Matthew 26:54. I mean, it's all over the Bible. God will do things to fulfill the word of the prophet over your life. That's good news. That's good news. So when did John become an apostle? The moment he received the call of Jesus to be an apostle. When did the world receive him? Somewhere in here, but I tell you what, by the time in his 70s, the fruit was evident. And people received his word and put it in this book. Now today, I don't need anybody to prophesy to me that John is an apostle because I believe it. It's been established. And in your life right now, some of you are trying to jockey to get people to recognize who you are, and you don't understand why people don't receive you that way. Your job is to receive the word of the Lord over you and begin walking in it. Your job is just to begin walking in that identity and carrying that weighty call of the Lord upon you. You make decisions through the call on your life. Hear me, this is who you are. This is who you are. It's not something you do, it's who you are. Your call is not an activity. It's who you are. It's what Jesus says you are. I don't go out and try to be a man. I am a man. And I make my decisions based on being a man. I don't go to bathrooms and say, okay, which do I want to go into? Oh, men or women? Let me make. No, it's already been decided. I'm a man. I was shopping for a partner. I was like, which way should I go? No, I just picked a woman because I'm a man. It's already been decided for me. God already decided. I'm a man. I got a wife. It just makes sense. But some of you, your call is the same thing. It's the absolute same thing. God has called you to be a herald of righteousness. You need to make life choices based on what you're called to be. Don't keep deciding over and over and over and over again and doubting it. Come, Mikey. It's what you're called to be. Some of you are called to be healers. You look at the world through the eyes of a healer, and that's okay. You be that person. Some of you are called to be a mother of many. You watch God do something. Are you with me? Are you with me? You're called to be an apostle. You're called to be a prophet. You're called to be an evangelist. You're called to be an administrator. You're called to be an intercessor. You just begin walking in that call because that's who God says you are. Young men need to be around grown men. Why? Because that's what they're called to be. They need to see how they operate. Young women need to be around women because you need to know how godly women behave. No need to make me a man. I just needed some role models. Look, oh, that's how men handle those things. Got it. Oh, that's how ministers handle things. Got it. That's how fathers handle things. Got it. Are y'all with me? I hope you're encouraged. Many of you right now, I'm going to pray. Ooh, here we go. Some of you have already received that godly deposit on the inside of you. Some of you, the Lord visited you and spoke it over you. But others, you got it through a prophetic word, through an encounter, through reading the scriptures. And as I pray right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking the Lord to activate that thing afresh. To activate that thing afresh. And I release you to walk in who God has called you to be. Listen, you don't got to tell everybody in the world what you... People will recognize it on you. You don't got to get a name tag that says Prophet JoJo. You know, you don't need that. You don't need to get a business card. You don't need to come up to me and say, hey, by the way, Pastor, I just want to let you know I'm a worldwide evangelist. The gift makes room for itself. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I give you liberty to dream. Dream the God dream. Dream the God dream. Dream the God dream. And allow the Lord to minister it to you. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for who you are today. Thank you that we have a hope in you. And I ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would visit every man, woman, and child in this room. That you would strengthen and encourage them. That you would show them that their future is decided. They're secure in your arms. Now you have a work for them to do on the earth. Right in line with their gifting and calling. Right in line with who you call them to be. I thank you, Father. We trust you. We trust you. And we trust your word. In Jesus' name. Everybody say, amen, amen, amen. We just give a clap offering to God. We love you, Jesus. Listen, if you need healing in your body, I'm going to have my life group leaders right up here. If you need prayer for anything, I want you to come on up and allow them to pray for you. My wife and I will be at the Next Steps table if you need to talk to someone. And we love you. Have a great day.